Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and this is the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. And this hour will feature Inner Sanctum and an episode of a program called Mystery House. Let's start off with Mystery House. For Mystery House was a publishing company that wanted to act out the play to make sure that it was good enough for the magazine Mystery House. So, interesting plot. Let's listen to how it goes with an episode called Drop Me a Line. This is from 1946.
Mystery House. Mystery House, that strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
Here we go, Danny boy.
Wait, don't Danny boy me or I'll get even rougher than certain characters in tonight's script.
My goodness, you are in fine shape.
Yeah.
You must have taken this script to heart. You ticklish, too?
Yeah, no, cut it out, Murphy. Cut it out. I'll be good now. Wait a minute. Well, let's see now. All our scripts all passed out? Everybody got one?
We're all set.
Yeah, well, then, let's have a fill-in on the background for tonight's story,
Well, there's not much to tell, except that it has a new angle. A doodler plays an important part in this one.
Oh, yeah, one of those people who scribble on telephone books. As I remember it, there's a lot of writing in this novel.
That's right. And maybe that's why it's called Drop Me a Line. Did you get that, Tom?
Got it, Mrs. Glenn. But before I go into that, how's about listening to some lines like this? Drop me a line. Tonight's story opens in the nightclub office of Race Wiley. Unannounced, a visitor has just walked in.
Bertie Carmichael, who did you bribe to get in here without being announced?
You know I can pay off, Race. I've learned some things in my association with you.
All right, so you're in. Now let's have it. I don't have time to waste even on millionaires.
That's why I'm here. Even though I'm rich, I can't buy happiness.
Yeah, what's the matter, Bertie? Has number 10 run out on you? You and your weddings. You get more laughs than the comic strips.
This isn't funny. This is murder.
Murder? In the Carmichael Mansion? That's a new one. Usually your brides never get farther than genteel blackmail. What's the matter? What's Candy done?
Done? I don't know. She's disappeared. She's been... Well, I'm positive she's dead.
What are you trying to hand me? Why, I was at your wedding last night. I never saw a healthier gold digger.
That's why I'm here, Race. You know everything that went on at the wedding. And afterward.
Yeah, well, it's all over, Bertie. I did the job you wanted. You paid off, and now we're square. Outside of that, I don't know a thing.
I know, but you've got to help me now.
No dice, Bertie, old boy. Murder's out of my line.
I've got to know what happened to Candy.
So what? I'm a gambler, Carmichael, not a dopester. I like them when they win, but losers bore me.
I've done business with you before, Race. I'll pay off. And all I want to know is what your boys did with Candy.
My boys? Cut it out, Bertie. My boys take orders from me. They don't get ideas of their own, not when it comes to knocking off customers.
It's their loyalty to you that makes me...
You think the boys would rub out Candy just because... quit acting like a juvenile.
Well, she was your girlfriend.
Sure, she was my girlfriend, Bertie, but I got hundreds of them. And confidentially, Bertie, I don't marry them.
Forget the wisecracks, Race. This is going to look bad.
Look bad? You've been looking bad ever since you started taking on wives like a hard boot takes on horses.
But this is different. No wife of mine ever died before.
Well, what if Candy is dead? You're used to losing your women, one way or another.
But I can't stand the police investigating this. If I had a reasonable explanation... If one of your boys admits this, I can get him off with a couple of years.
Ah, no. None of that. I'm not letting any of my people take a rap for somebody else.
Race... I've been trying to give you a chance to admit this so we could fix it up.
What are you talking about, you measly little...
The evidence. Everything points to you.
Points to who?
Well, to your trigger man, Gabby Spiotti.
What? Now, look, Bertie.
The police will be sure to arrest him, Race. You don't want that, do you?
What's your game, Carmichael? What's the sudden interest in my welfare?
Well, I don't like to admit it, but the trustees of my estate, if I get mixed up in one more public scandal...
You mean the trustees are going to cut you off, huh?
They've warned me the family business can't afford...
What's that to me?
Just this. If I'm cut off without an income, you'll lose one of your best customers.
So you want me to line up a fall guy for you?
Not for me. For you. I want you to find out who killed Candy. Right now, before the police get in on it.
What's the percentage for you?
If Candy died because she was two-timing me, because she ran away from me on her wedding night...
Oh, so that's what you claim happened.
Why, yes, of course. But don't you see, if there's some way I could avoid being implicated, that's why I need you.
You think I'd frame this on one of my boys?
I don't care who takes the blame. One of your men did it, but if you can make it look like somebody else...
Anybody but you. Huh, Bertie?
I had nothing to do with it.
No, of course not.
Race, look, please. I'll pay you any amount, anything.
You'll pay, brother. You'll pay. Don't worry about that.
Then you will do it? Will you help me?
I'll be at your place in half an hour.
Come in, please. You wish to see Mr. Carmichael, no?
Well, who are you, sister?
I am Micheline Lucia, the French teacher for Mr. Carmichael.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Bertie still knows how to pick him.
I do not understand all...
I said you're a classy chassis with a confection complexion. Whoever put you together, baby, wasn't blindfolded.
But you are laughing at me. It's American slang.
Slang, yeah. But no laughs, baby. Oh, no. You're not the kind of female that I can laugh off, baby.
Please, Mr. Wiley, no.
Oh, so you know me, sweetheart?
But of course. Bertie, Monsieur Carmichael, he expect you, no?
No. I could be talked out of it, honey.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Race. Bertie will be here. There, you see?
Hello, Ray.
Mr. Race, I just know.
Hey, Bertie, you didn't tell me about this.
What? Oh, Micheline. She's teaching me French.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll say this for you, Bertie. You can...
Please, Race, let's get started. I'm nervous as the devil this morning. The butler just found Candy's body. Oh, no. Look.
All right, take it easy, Bertie. Hold on to yourself.
But Candy, she was so beautiful. Look. Look at her face.
Acid. You wouldn't know it was her. Acid must have been thrown at her. It's all over her hands and legs. Burned right through her skin.
But acid wouldn't kill her.
No. But look at her throat.
You mean?
I mean her throat's been cut. Whoever did it must have figured the acid would eat away the scar.
But why? Why?
I don't know, Bertie. Maybe so the police wouldn't be able to figure out what the murder weapon was. Hey, Gabby. Gabby.
Yeah, Ray. What's the matter? Can't you see?
Come on, get in. The darker it is, the better.
It was hard to work. It's so black.
Yeah, you all done? No slip-up?
You know better than that. The cops won't be able to tell it from an accident. That car is really busted up.
Okay, how about the battery?
A cinch. The way I piled up that crate, it looks like the battery just naturally fell out and spilled all over the body.
Oh, you didn't make it too good now. You know the cops got to recognize Candy.
Just like you told me. Her pocketbook, driver's license, everything's all set. Only... I still don't figure your angle, Ray.
Okay, don't worry about it. The dough in this is better than any roulette wheel you ever gimmicked.
But you're taking an awful chance. Everybody knows you was hooked up with Candy Nugent. Supposing they get the idea you done her in.
No. When they find her, she'll be here on this deserted road in Bertie Carmichael's car, and with that letter in her pocketbook.
But what's the letter prove? Just a note from Heine Luger.
A note, yeah. But not just a drop-me-a-line note. A letter that tells Candy to meet Heine the night of her marriage to Carmichael. Don't think the cops won't fall for that.
I hope it works. Nothing I'd like better than to see Heine fry. Especially for something he didn't do. The rat.
Yeah. And Bertie Carmichael pays us to get rid of our competition.
No, no, Bertie. We must study the French. Bertie, no.
Just once more, Miss
Shalene. No. No, read the French.
Oh, all right.
Dans le premier.
Dans le premier jour de mois d'août.
All right, break it up.
Oh, Race. What's the idea of walking in here? Who let you in?
Never mind that. We got business to transact. Business that won't wait for formalities.
You mean it? Everything is taken care of?
It's all set. The cops have got Candy now. I had an anonymous phone call planted, and the bulls raced right out there. By this time, they got it all figured out that Heine Luger was the killer.
Are you sure, Race? Luger has some smart lawyers. We know he didn't do it.
Oh,
but...
do we? All I know is I had nothing to do with it. If there's any slip-ups, the police won't ask me any questions. But they might want to talk to you.
But you said...
You know what I said. I got the body out of your house, now pay off. From here on, it's your party.
You've got to stick by me. What is...
Pay up, Bertie. Let's not make it complicated.
What is this? I do not understand what you speak to each other.
Well, don't worry, baby. Your boyfriend here will be all right. Unless he tries to welch on me.
No, Race. I'm more than willing to pay, but what if there's a slip?
You should have thought of that before you called me in.
But what is the matter with you two?
Nothing wrong with Bertie that you couldn't cure, Micheline. He's got things fixed up now so as he can marry you. First he notifies the police that his wife is missing since her wedding night. And the cops find that Candy's dead. What more do you want?
Stop that, Race. Micheline doesn't understand.
Oh, no? Accent don't fool me.
Oh, Mr. Grace, you say such bad things.
Grace, I'll pay you half now and the rest if the plan works.
No, you'll pay all of it. That letter's a cinch.
But Tiny will deny writing
it. Don't worry about it. That letter was written by the greatest forger in the business. Any expert will swear it's Tiny's handwriting. Besides, I had him put in a couple of Candy's doodles in pencil, you see.
Doodles? What do you mean?
Well, you know the way she's always drawing stuff when she was talking on the phone or when she was thinking.
We are remember, too. Little scrolls, she draws on everything. I remember them.
Miss Shalene, how did you know so much
but
about...
have you forgotten? It was this Candy who brings us together.
Yeah. Now, you satisfied, Bertie? The letter's not only in Heine's handwriting. He's got Candy's trademark on it. Just as if she put it there herself while she was thinking about meeting Heine that night. Clever, eh?
I still say half now and half later, when the guilt is pinned on Heine Luger.
Oh,
no, please do not strike.
Take your hands off me, Race. I'll call
them. No, go ahead. Go and call the police. I got to get a notion
of
it.
No,
Yeah? Well, maybe you're right, Frenchie. Maybe that isn't the way to treat your boyfriend.
Here's my check, Race. Now get out of here.
Getting brave when a woman does the talking for you, eh, Bertie? Well, don't forget, this is only half. You won't get a chance to forget. I'll see to that. Okay, baby, here's the key. Now open up the front door and walk right in. If anybody stops and asks you who you are, what are you going to tell them?
I'm Brenda Braddock, the Gaiety.
That's right, honey. There's so many showgirls walking in and out of Bertie Carmichael's house, nobody will stop you.
I know, Ray. Don't worry.
That's right, baby. Now just make sure that he sees you, then beat it out like everything for the door. You know the way out?
Oh, sure, Ray. See you later.
Yeah. Good luck, honey. The door ain't locked. Quiet now, kid. And so long.
Who's there? Who is that? Candy! No, it can't be!
She can get rid of me, did you, Bertie?
Thank you.
Andy Nugent. Was she killed or wasn't she? We'll find out in the second act of tonight's story, but first, let's consider something else. And now, the second act of Drop Me a Line. The scene is Race Wiley's gambling club. The girl Race sent to Bertie Carmichael's house has come back to report to Race.
You should have seen him. The look on his face, and when he yelled candy, I thought I'd laugh out loud.
Yeah, you're sure now he called you candy?
Well, of course I'm sure. He was scared stiff.
Good, good. Before we're done with him, we'll have him paying out $1,000 a week just for protection from ghosts.
I gotta hand it to you, Race.
Yeah, well, you're not bad yourself, honey. Come here, baby. You still like him when he come from me?
Nobody kisses like you do, Race.
Yeah. This is better than collecting alimony from that goofy Carmichael, ain't it? I always say a case settlement is better.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that was a great idea, that was. Getting a body from the morgue that looks something like me and then throwing acid all over it.
Yeah, and poor Bertie. He really thought it was you. Wait a minute. Hello. Yeah. He is. Okay. Sure, let him come on in. Come on, get out of here, quick. Bertie's on his way in. Amscray.
But where?
Quick, in the closet right there. And be quiet now. Well, if it isn't my bosom buddy, Bertie.
Hello, Race.
What's the matter, Bertie? You look worried.
Worried?
Who let you in?
I am so sorry. It seems no one would like to let me in, so I come in through the window.
Miss Helene, you should...
On your way, Frenchie. This is no place for you.
But you are wrong. It is not a business matter.
That's right, sweetheart. Strictly business. No place for you.
But it is. You see, now I am Bertie's secretary. I must help him with all his business matters, no?
No. Now start moving.
Let her stay, Ray. She can't do you any harm. I just came to pay the other half of the money for what you did.
Oh, thanks. Hey, what's the matter, Bertie? You ain't looking so good.
I haven't been feeling well lately. I think I need a rest.
I have advised Bertie to pay. Is that not good, no?
Yeah. Yeah, Frenchie, that's not only good, but that's smart.
Oui, it is as I thought.
Yeah. What was that?
Oh, nothing. Pay him the check, Bertie. And if you please, Mr. Race, I will have a piece of paper. I must write some notes.
Paper? Yeah.
Oh, just here, this will do very nicely.
Yeah, okay. Now, Bertie, the check. We'll call everything square, huh?
Here it is, Race.
Okay. Wait a minute. This is dated ahead 2 weeks.
That's right. I have to do it that way, Race. My allowance, you know.
Oh, no. Let's get this settled now. Cash on the line. I know you got it.
It's impossible. I can't do it any other way.
What do you mean you can't? You will.
It is better this way, Mr. Race.
Huh? What do you know about it?
It is better not to arouse the suspicions of the trustees, is it not?
What do you mean?
To get the cash, we must ask the trustees. That would not be so good for you, eh, Mr. Rice?
Well, okay. But the check better be good. And just to make sure...
We?
Never mind. Just make sure I get the money.
Don't worry, Rice. You'll get it.
French girl. She has something up her sleeve, Race, and I don't like
it. Take it easy, baby. That's why I called Gabby in.
What's the matter, boy?
Not much.
Not much? That gal picked up that paper I was doodling on. That's enough.
What are you talking about? What's this doodling?
Well, you know the way candy is. Has to be drawing something with a pencil all the time.
You mean like what you had to put on that letter from Heine Luger?
Yeah.
Race, you gotta do something. That French girl...
Now, don't worry about her, baby. She's not smart enough to pin anything on you.
But she picked that paper up right here in the office. Anybody would know that meant I'd been here. What if she spills it?
Don't worry. She won't spill anything.
Oh, Race, how can you be so calm? She knows.
Look, baby, look. I know something, too.
What do you mean? What are you holding that magazine up the light for?
This magazine was on the desk under the paper that Micheline and you used to write on. You see the impression here of your own doodling?
What? There's no writing there.
Well, of course not, dummy. The writing was on the paper she took with her. But the pressure of the pencil goes through the paper onto any soft surface underneath. You see it? See there? That's your doodle.
Oh, yeah. Now I get it.
That's right. Now look at this. Words written by your friend, Micheline.
What's it say?
It says, what a dope Bertie is.
What? Well, then...
Yeah, this Micheline's a smart babe. She wanted to get that piece of paper with your doodling on it. She figured it meant you were still alive. So she pretends to write a note.
But why that? Why that stuff about Bertie being a dope?
Well, she just wrote the first thing that came into her head, figuring I'd never see it. But she gave herself away.
What?
Yeah.
I still don't follow you.
Oh, it's a cinch, baby. What a dope, she writes. Well, do you think a real French dame would write that?
You mean Micheline is a phony?
That's right, genius. Micheline has a racket of her own.
And she figures to chisel in on us.
Unless we stop her.
How are you going to stop her?
Well, that's where you come in, Gabby. But first, there's a little job for you, Candy. Here.
Hey, what's this? My Life and Death with Bertie Carmichael. By Candy Nugent Carmichael. Well, who wrote it?
Take a look at it.
Well, it's nothing but a stack of old letters. Who's going to read that?
Nobody, beautiful. And that's where you come in. Now, look, here's the name and address of the chief trustee of Bertie's estate. Now, go on up there and tell him you've decided to sell your life story to the Daily Sentinel and you want to check some facts on Bertie.
Well, what if he wants to read it?
He won't, if you handle it right. Now, get on up there, baby. Gabby has a job to do, too.
What are you doing here? What have you got there?
The radio, lady. Mr. Carmichael bought it for you, I guess.
A radio? Oh, you must be mistaken. I'm accompanying Mr. Carmichael on his vacation. He would not give me a radio now. You must take it back.
Sorry, ma'am. I got orders to bring it here, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, very well. All right. Well, what are you waiting for? He's not the radio, all right?
Radio's all right, but...
What? Oh, help!
Come here, you.
Help!
You're going for a ride. Don't try screaming, babe. You're going for a little ride. Right inside that radio crate.
Nice work, Gabby. Nice work.
I guess I didn't hit her too hard. She's been kicking up a fuss most of the way.
Okay, it's a good thing you didn't hurt her. I want to talk to her. Let her out now.
Wait a minute, sister.
Well, Frenchie, did you have a good ride?
Oh, Frenchie, you.
Oh, what's happened to the French accent?
Never mind that. What's the idea of shanghaiing me?
Want me to shut her up, Ray?
No, let her alone. She can't do any harm here in my office.
That's what you think. Wait till the cops get here. We'll see how smart you are.
Cops, is it? You've got as much to lose with the cops as I have, baby. You wouldn't call the cops, now, would you, Frenchie?
Oh, wouldn't I? It just so happens, Mr. Race Wiley, that I did.
Yeah?
I stole one of your pet little ideas. I wrote a letter and dropped it through a hole in the radio crate before your gorilla got it out of the house. Hmm. I had a hunch I was going to meet you again.
So, you invited the cops to drop in on me, did you? Oh, you little...
Well, go ahead, shoot me. That'll help a lot when the cops get here, any minute now. They might even hear the shot. Go on, shoot. That'll just fix everything for you.
Let me have her, Race. No cops will hear what I'm going to do to her neck.
Now, lay off her, Gabby, lay off. We're in a spot. Maybe she has tipped off the cops, and maybe she hasn't. But we're taking no chances. Now, open the door.
Jeez, huh? Here comes Candy.
Race!
Here, Candy, what's the matter? The cops?
No, it's Bertie Carmichael. He's right behind me.
Bertie?
He was in the trustee's office when I got there. So help me, Race, I didn't see him until all of a sudden there he was. Then it ran.
What's the matter with you? What are you scared of? That runt?
Well, he was like a madman when he saw me. I swear he's going to kill me if he catches me.
Don't worry, none. I'll take care of this guy.
No, get out of the way, Gabby. This is one guy I just left.
No, you don't. Leave that girl alone.
Oh, don't worry about me. Get the gun for him.
I got it. Rick.
Oh, nice going, Bertie. That's all from muscle bound.
All right, Race. You too, my beloved wife. Stand up. I said stand up. There's still some bullets in this gun.
Take it easy, Bertie.
I told you, gun crazy.
Shut up, Mrs. Carmichael. I'll do the talking in this family.
Oh, Bertie, you're terrific. Did you get my note?
What? Did you get a note, Bertie? You heard the lady. She dropped you a line while my late friend Gabby here was kidnapping her. Surely you got the note, Bertie.
Shut up. I don't know what she's talking about, Micheline. You told me to check with the trustees before
but
I left town.
Didn't they tell you?
Well, tell me what?
That I was a spy?
You're a what?
The trustees hired me to see what I could find out about the kind of friends you had, Bertie. They didn't like your marriage to Candy Nugent, for one thing.
Now, don't tell me you were on the level, Frenchie.
Oh,
French teaching act was a phony.
Don't believe her, Bertie. She's all phony.
Shut up, Candy. We're licked. We might as well get ready to face the cops.
All right, no.
Bertie, keep that gun on them. They might take advantage of you.
Not us. Where we're going, we'll need friends. Hey, Bertie, do me a favor, will you?
That depends, Race. What?
Well, just this. Drop me a line sometime, will you, pal? I want to hear how you get along with number 11. I always was a sucker for romance.
Mystery House from 1946, and now an episode of Inner Sanctum. This is called Death's Little Brother. It's from 1949.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the Inner Sanctum. Come in. We would like at this point to deny certain rumors that have been spread around to the effect that we of the Inner Sanctum lack culture. Why, we have our own shelf of the world's great classics. In our case, a 6-foot shelf, naturally. We subscribe regularly to such magazines as the Saturday Evening Ghost. We're all members of the Spook of the Month Club. There's nothing we like more than curling up in a fire with a copy of Shakespeare's immortal Midsummer Night's Scream. In short, we are people definitely interested in the spirits. And I can safely say that all of us here have received their degree. Usually the third. Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, Death's Little Brother, was written by Lou Vittus and stars Larry Haynes in the role of Danny with Amzie Strickland as Susie. Very well. Lock the windows, bolt the door, pull the shade down, pay the premium on your life insurance, and listen to Death's Little Brother. A happy-minded opus devoted to the thesis that nobody lives forever, and most people even less. Meet Danny, a lad on a train, his ticket paid on his way to... Suppose you find out.
The big idea about trains is that they go someplace. Someplace where people want to get to. I wasn't going anyplace. I was only getting out of town. The cops wanted to talk to me about a coffee pot that got itself held up. After the conversation, I would have wound up in front of a jury, and the judge would have made a speech about crime, and I'd have spent a year or maybe two in state prison. So I got on a train. Any train. I wasn't particular. But the rest of the people, they picked this train. It was going to places they knew about. Places they wanted to be. I looked at them and hated every one of them, including the guy who flopped into the seat next to mine. He's around my age, around my size. To somebody in a hurry, he could have been my brother.
Quite a train, huh?
Quite a train.
Say, would you know how long it'll be before we get to Dorchester?
No, I wouldn't know.
That's where I'm headed for.
I guess that.
Yeah. You think they got a smoker on this train?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think I'll go find it. Second train I've been on tonight.
A guy was overdoing it. Not only one train, two trains. A guy was very anxious to get someplace. So anxious, he hadn't noticed his wallet dropping out of his pocket. I had. A couple of tens, a handful of ones. Went into my pocket fast. Driver's license, which said the guy's name was Clark Davis. Odds and ends of junk. A letter. A letter which smelled of perfume, nice perfume. I read it. Clark Davis had a sister named Susie. She wrote the letter. Her mother and father had died 20 years ago in a car crash. An uncle named Davis had brought up the guy. The girl had gone to another uncle named Carter. Out in Africa, Uncle Carter had died and left his dough, lots of it, to his niece Susie and to his nephew Clark. Clark and Susie hadn't seen each other for 20 years. I put the dough back into the wallet. Susie was in the old family shack in Dorchester. That was where Clark was going. That was where I was going.
Say, did you happen to notice...
This?
Yeah, my wallet.
You dropped it.
Thanks. For a while, I was afraid it was gone.
It's come back.
Thanks again.
He went to sleep sitting in the seat next to me. I didn't go to sleep. Susie and Clark hadn't seen each other for 20 years. I wasn't going anyplace in particular. Dorchester might be just as good a place to get off at as any. Maybe even better.
You got off here too, huh?
Yeah, looks that way, don't it?
Not a dump. Station's dark, not a cab in sight.
Wasn't anybody supposed to meet you?
I didn't tell her what train I was coming on.
Her?
My sister.
Oh. Live in town?
Nope. Well, on Lakeshore Drive, wherever that is.
I know where it is. You wait here.
What?
I'm heading out that direction myself. Maybe I can rustle up a car.
Hey, thanks. I swell of you. Oh,
forget it. It's on my way. I'd spotted a sign down the street. A cheap hotel battling the termites. I went in. Hey.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Where's Lakeshore Drive?
Oh, a couple of miles out, east on the highway. Can't miss the turnoff.
I need a car to get there, don't I?
Yep.
Got one you can let me have?
Old station wagon, but, you didn't mention your name.
Oh, I didn't, did I? It's Clark Davis.
Susan Carter's brother?
Yeah.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about you and Tom.
How about that station wagon?
Why, sure, seeing as who you are. Won't have any need of it tonight. Here you are. Glad to be of service. Runs fine, only you got to be careful of the brake.
Don't worry, I'll be careful. So long. The station wagon was there, and so was Clark.
Came along after you.
Yeah, that station wagon. Hop in.
Okay.
I was pretty sure nobody had seen Clark get into the car. And pretty sure it would have to be good enough. Turnoff in 10 minutes, and I began pumping the hand choke. Clark had his eyes closed.
What? Hey, what happened?
Motor. I'll, have to take a look at it. Know much about cars?
Oh, not a thing.
Might be trouble. Let's see what's under the hood. Oh, yeah, yeah. Carburetor's flooded.
Is that bad?
Not serious. Take a while to drain off. In the meantime, there's a lake over there. Like to take a look at it?
Yeah, sure. The bank's kind of steep.
Oh, there's no hurry.
The water looks good.
I'm 3/4 asleep.
Now, why don't you get some water on your face? Might wake you up.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Boy, it's cold.
Cold and deep. Davis.
Huh?
How's your sister going to know it's you when you show up?
I'll tell her.
Didn't you send her any pictures of yourself?
No, I haven't got any pictures. Come on down here. The water's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Say, it just occurred to me. How come you know about Susie and me?
Hotel clerk, town gossip.
Oh. Better be careful with rocks.
I'll be careful. And I was. There were lots of rocks around. I didn't grab just any rock. I picked one that was heavy enough, but not too heavy to handle easy. And I went down.
I certainly feel a lot better. Hey, what do you got that rock for?
The rock?
You weren't thinking of trying to skip that across the water, were you?
Skip it?
What you need is a flat rock, one a whole lot smaller.
What I need is this rock. He went down, sprawling over the rocks at the edge of the lake. He wasn't dead, but after a while... he was dead. I went through his pockets. Wallet identification letter from Susan Carter, the works. It went into my pockets. It wasn't robbery, though. I gave him my wallet. And I gave him some rocks, too. Loaded his pockets with them. So when I dumped him in the lake, he went down. He'd stay down, too, for a while. And if he came up in a week or two, he'd be a guy called Danny, wanted by the cops for larceny. And he wouldn't have much of a face left to identify. I turned around and headed back for the car. Now I was somebody who had some place to go to.
Yes?
Hello, Susie.
Hello. Oh, you must be...
Haven't you got a kiss for your big brother?
Clark. Oh.
I didn't wire. I thought I'd surprise you.
Oh, it's a wonderful surprise, Clark. Oh, I'm so glad you came. I was lonely.
Lonely? Well, this is your home.
I'd never lived in it. Uncle and I were abroad all these years. But of course you know that.
Yeah, sure. Your letter. See?
It's funny after such a long time. But you know, Clark, I think I'm going to like my brother. He's kind of handsome.
Well, I guess it runs in a family.
Thank you, darling.
I'm kind of tired.
Oh, of course you are. Come on. I'll show you a room. I sort of expected Mrs. Brenner to be with you, though.
Mrs. Brenner?
I bet she's a wonderful person.
Mrs. Brenner.
Clark, what's the matter with you? I'm talking about the housekeeper. The one who practically brought you up. You wrote me about her, don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, I remember. I'm just foggy. I haven't had much sleep.
I know. Well, like your room?
Yeah, it's swell.
I've got Mrs. Brenner's room ready for her down the hall.
Susie.
Yes?
Susie, she didn't come with me because she wasn't feeling too good. Matter of fact, I don't know when she'll get here.
You're worried about her. That's sweet, Clark, but you don't really have to.
Huh?
I got a phone call from her, about half an hour before you came.
You did?
Uh-huh. She said she'll be here first thing in the morning. Good night, Clark.
With Mrs. Brenner due in the morning... Mrs. Brenner, who knew Clark Davis, I had things to think about. One of them was finding out when the train came in. I found out. It was coming in early the next morning, which meant I had to be early, too, very early.
Clark?
Huh? Oh, Susie.
Good morning, darling. But why are you up so early?
Oh, what about you?
I always get up early. Don't forget, I'm taking care of the house.
Well, I've got to get the station wagon back to the hotel.
They don't need it, not right away.
And besides, Mrs. Brenner's coming in.
Oh.
I want to meet her at the train.
Well, she could always get a cab.
Yeah, but, I'd like to make sure she gets here. I'd like to make sure. But she didn't come in. But on that train.
Hi, Mr. Davis.
Huh? Oh, the clerk.
Yep. Seen somebody at all?
No.
Expecting somebody?
No.
Well, it's fun watching trains.
I brought the hotel station wagon.
Oh, well, it was no great hurry. Cigarette, Mr. Davis?
I don't smoke.
Ain't much of a habit. I guess the other fella left this pack in the station wagon then.
Other fella?
One that you was with last night.
I was alone.
Looked kind of sick. Guess he's staying out at the house with you.
I tell you, I was alone.
Thought you might have some trouble starting the wagon. You were so nervous.
Well, I was tired, that's all.
So I kind of drifted over to the window in front of the hotel. Seen you help him in.
I told you I was alone.
That's right. I guess the pack of cigarettes could have been left in the car before last night.
Sure.
Even though I cleaned it out thorough before you took it. And I guess maybe I could have made a mistake about seeing another fella get in with you. Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
I need a little time to think about these mistakes. Get my mind straight about them. Can't do that if I have to keep on working.
I don't get it.
Well, I could use a vacation.
And take one.
I can't afford it. Listen, a rich young fellow like you feels like helping out.
Well, I haven't
The whole town knows about the legacy, Mr. Davis. Now, I ain't the fancy kind. Say, a couple of $1,000, hmm?
A couple of thousand. You're crazy.
No. Just need a vacation awful bad. Say, tonight?
Tonight?
Yep.
All right. Where can I meet you?
Oh, I'll stop by the house.
No, no. My sister.
Well, outside the house, then.
Okay. Down near the road. By the lake.
Sounds all right.
Around 8?
You better wait inside the house till you hear a hoot owl go 3 times. I do awful good hoot owl. Ain't any real ones around, so you'll know it's me.
Yeah, but...
I don't want you waiting outside for me in the dark. Might catch cold. So long, Mr. Davis. See you tonight. And besides doing a good hoot owl, I'm pretty good at shooting things. Comes from hunting. You don't want to forget that, do you?
Clark?
Yeah?
You're so fidgety.
Well, I'm kind of worried.
About Mrs. Brenner? She'll probably show up tomorrow.
No, no, not about her. Susie, I've got some debts to take care of.
Oh?
I guess the legacy is all set, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to lay my hands on some of it. Just for the fun of it.
Well, it'll take only about a week before it comes through, Clark.
A week?
You know, all the legal red tape and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but a week can be an awful long time. Susie, you wouldn't have any money.
Of course I have.
Well, how much can you let me have? Against my share, of course.
$200-$300?
That's all?
Clark, are you in trouble?
No, of course not. Only... Well, do you think the lawyer in charge of the estate might advance some dough?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, most of Uncle's money is tied up abroad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that settles that.
Settles what?
I'll just have to wait, Susie. That's all. I might have paid the clerk off if I had the money. Might have. But this way it was going to be cheaper and safer. He was waiting for me down by the lake. And he had a gun. He told me that. I'd have to come to him facing him, he thought. But if I got the lake, I'd had all day to find a boat. I found one. There was no moon, so it was dark. There was a wind which made noise. More than noise enough to cover the sound of the boat, even if he'd been listening for it, and he wasn't. He was wearing a white shirt, which made it easy. He was standing a couple of feet from the shore, facing towards the house. I let the boat drift the last few yards, quietly. Besides, I needed an oar for another purpose. It was a heavy oar. I was out of the boat and hit the shallow water. There was a splash, but it didn't register on him until I was close.
Hey,
he started to turn. He was almost all the way around when... The house was dark when I got back. Susie asleep. That was good. I'd had enough for a day, more than enough. I went to my room and hit the head. I didn't bother undressing. I wanted darkness fast. Darkness and quiet and sleep. And though I didn't expect it to come, it came. Sleep. What? Who now? Well, there aren't any around here, are there? sound was coming from the direction of the lake. I was dreaming, sure, but I had to go outside. When I got close to where I put him, there was no more sound. The earth over him hadn't even been touched. He was still under it, deep under it, where I'd put him after I finished with the oar. Even if he'd still been able to hoot like an owl, you couldn't hurt him, not with all that earth on top of him. I'm sure I'd been dreaming. I got back to the house. That's where the hoot owl was yelling from, except that when I got back, the house was the same. My room was the same. Till I put the lights on. I nearly let go of that. I nearly turned and ran because sitting in the chair next to my bed was Mr. Davis. Mr. Clark Davis. Dead and in person. The water was dripping from his clothes onto the floor, but there was no blood, nothing more. He was cold when I touched him because I had to touch him. I didn't want to. I wanted to run, to get away, to keep running forever. But I went to him, and I touched him. And his body was cold and wet and solid. My hand didn't go through. That was all I needed. I headed downstairs. Susie had a car, a convertible, back of the house. I was there, all right. I reached in, felt the seats. One of them was wet. I went to the front of the car and touched the hood. It was warm. All the answers except one, and that one I'd get in person. I turned back to the house. I wasn't thinking anymore, just doing what had to be done. But I should have thought because... Both shots had got me. She aimed good. Low. Not trying for anything fancy like the head. Both shots were in me. Deep. I hit the ground and stayed put. Played dead. It was easy, a rehearsal. I could taste my own blood in my mouth. Soon it wouldn't be a rehearsal, but a real thing. But before that, she stopped. She was smart. Stopped a few feet away from me and waited. I didn't breathe. She wouldn't want to waste bullets, risk more noise. After a while, she came a little closer. She'd seen the blood I was lying in. She came a little closer. And I still had strength enough to roll and get her ankles and bring her down.
Let me go.
I got her wrist. She still was watching. She threw the gun too far for me to get at her. But I held on to her.
Clark! Darling, what's the matter with
you? It's no use. You dragged your brother out of the lake, didn't you? You hooted like an owl. You saw me kill a hotel clerk, didn't you?
It makes you feel any better, I did. You better let go of me. You're not doing yourself any good leading the way you are.
Why shoot me? Why didn't you yell at the cops? You had the goods on me. All you had to do was show them your brother's body. Why drag it into my room? Why try to drive me nuts?
Because, you idiot, that body in your room isn't my brother.
Isn't your brother? Who is he?
A friend of mine. A boyfriend.
What about your brother?
You ought to save your breath. A dying man like you.
What about your brother?
Dead. He was murdered.
Why?
The man you thought was my brother.
Why?
Because my uncle left all the money to my brother. He didn't trust me, didn't like me. So I had my brother killed. The man you met on the train was going to impersonate my brother till the wheel went through. And you had to come along.
Yeah, I had to come along.
When you walked in, I didn't know what to do. I tested you. There is no Mrs. Brenner, but you fell for it. So I knew you didn't come from Clarkstown.
Why'd you shoot me? We could have gone through the act.
Not after you killed the hotel clerk. He'll be missed. I couldn't afford to have an unsolved murder around. They'd find out about my real brother. This way, you're a killer. My brother's dead because of you. I'll get the money.
She'd stopped trying to get away. She was waiting for me to die. And I was dying, all right. But I was still strong enough.
My throat!
Don't get your hands off. Oh, no. No. No.
Still strong enough to take with me.
That, I think, pretty much winds up the sad story of Danny. A winsome lad who only wanted a new address and discovered that the housing situation is murder. We can sympathize with his feeling about rent ceilings, but he really shouldn't have raised the roof. Of course, it's no fun to be out in the cold, but did Danny have to go to the other extreme? The person that we really don't understand, though, is Susie. She didn't have to kill Danny. After all, he only wanted to be a brother to her.
Sanctum was heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.